Did you start, Mickey? Yeah. You have the lights? It's good. Good lights? Thanks, sorry. Okay. We left off on Daf Lamed and Gimel Amud Beis. So we were discussing the fact that in the Torah, the person appoints somebody to be a shliach, to bring a get for him, so he can technically, you know, disqualify the person from being a shliach. He can cancel, he can revoke the shlichos without the shliach even knowing about it. So although that's the Dimin HaTorah, that's a very, very bad idea, because then the shliach is going to go ahead and deliver the get, not knowing that he was canceled. The woman's going to receive the get, she'll go ahead and remarry without a kosher get. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel and Zachar made it takon, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to set up a situation that's going to be misleading and confusing for the woman potentially thinking that she's divorced. So it was announced that the Gemara continued now with the Machlokes HaTanoim about some of the intricacies of that takana. Under what circumstances does that halacha apply? So the Gemara quoted back last week on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Aleph, the Gemara quoted Machlokes HaTanoim. What if a person appoints...
Sorry. This is my tripod.
There you go. Okay, right. Okay, so we left off that the Gemara quoted a machlekes hatanoim about if a person had appointed 10 people to write a get on his behalf, and now he wants to start to cancel some of them. So is that okay or not? So the question is, well, what are the ramifications for those who weren't yet revoked? So if you hold that the ones who were not revoked, in fact, remain in place, so good, what's the problem? So you'll cancel Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, but Yehuda, Dan, and Naphtali will remain intact. And they're the ones who are going to bring the get, so what can go wrong? But if you hold like the title that says that the Eidah Shabbat, we trust about Lakula, that once you revoke some of them, so the entire group, the entire Katan Eidim now becomes possible, so now you're right smack into trouble, because there are people out there who think that they're kosher to write and to give a get, and in fact they're not. So that was the machlokes hatanoim between Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel, with the yochel of atos eshlof neizeh, or ein yochel of atos eshlof neizeh. So within the words of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that ein yochel of atos, you're not allowed to be mevatel one without telling all the others. So we might have further shaila. Maybe that's not what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant altogether. Maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant is that not that you shouldn't do it, is that it's impossible to do. Because until you corner all 10 of them together and say, you guys are all out, they in fact remain in. So this would be almost like a kula. That according to Shimon Gamliel, if you appointed 10 people to write a get, and you bumped off 5 of them, that's not called bumping off, that's meaningless. Until you have the whole group, easy come, easy go, or hard go, hard come, hard go. Until you bump off all together, then all of them remain intact. So we weren't exactly clear what Shimon Gamliel said. So it was in that background, the Gemara now continues on the top of Lamed Gimel Beis. So it's about 8 in the lines from the top of the cell. The first one line is Bay Asara. So Ibaila, we had a Shaila. Kulchem Ahu. What if you appoint 10 people to write a get, but you say the magic word Kulchem? You actually link them together, you join them together. Now, why is that important? Because the Gemara says a little bit later on, when you appoint a group of people to write a get, and you say Kulchem, all of you guys write a get, that means they all must write that get. Every single person must be present at the time of the writing of the get. They all have to participate in the writing of the get. What, they all have to hold the pen together? No. One of them is going to hold the pen and write the get, and the other 9 are going to become Edim. They're going to be witnesses. So whenever you have a get of a Kulchem, it's absolutely critical to have everybody there. So now the shadow is, how would this impact the Rishon Gamliel? Time in the Rishon Gamliel, Rishon Gosav, Edi Shabbat, Mitzas, about Lakula. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that you can't be mevatel zeh shlo b'fnei zeh, because he was afraid that if you bump off a few of them, the remainers will write the get by themselves, not realizing that they've been batel, and that's going to be a big problem. So that concern will not apply here. Well, I've had a cave double kuchem lo matzikos v'yave. So everybody knows that if you were told to write a get as a kuchem, as an entire group, every last person has to be present. So there's nothing to worry about. So it'll turn out that if you said the word kulchem, that could potentially make matters actually better, because then there's nothing to worry about some people writing the get without consulting the others. So immediately they'll realize that, they'll call all the friends, say, come on guys, let's all write the get together. And the 5 guys who were revoked will say, we can't do that anymore, we were bumped out. So there's less of a concern with kulchem. Oh Dilma, maybe we totally misunderstood what Shimon Gamliel said. Time them Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Nikasavar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, whoever was appointed together has to be revoked together. And if you try to revoke some of them without the others, that's not a revoking. That's not called a bittul. So it would come out according to this verse of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, In a case where you said kulchem, you could actually go ahead and write the get. Even though the guy is yelling and screaming, you guys are not my shlichim anymore. I cancel him. Unless you cancel all 10 together, all for one and one for all. So hilchafil kulchem nami. So toshma. So it's unclear what exactly Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said. So the Gemara says, let's bring a raya. Omer l'shnayim. A person says to two people, tenu get l'ishti. He says, give a get to my wife. So Rebbe said, no problem. One guy can be mevatel without telling the other guy. Because according to Rebbe, it's each person on their own. And the other is going to go wrong. So if I told Reuven and Shimon to write again, and then an hour later I say, Reuven, don't do it. So Shimon can continue to go on. I don't have to tell Shimon that I canceled Reuven. Shimon's an independent agent. So Shimon ben Gamliel uses this phrase that you can't be mevatel unless one in front of the other. Shnayim, when you say to two people, that's like kulchem. Kulchem means that you guys are all in this together. If you say to two people, of course you're in it together. One can't function without the other. So saying to two people is like the halacha equivalent of saying to 10 with uniting them as a group. So Amar Rav Ashi, if we're dealing with that I told two fellows to write a get, so then you would be correct. That would be like kulchem. There are two kinds of shlichim in terms of Hilchos Gittin. Either Reuven can appoint a shliach or a group of shlichim to write a get, which would mean he didn't give them anything. He authorized them to write, decide, etc., to prepare a get. Or the get is already prepared. It's a question of delivering the get. That's a different kind of a shlichus altogether. So if we would be dealing with the edim of ksiva, that would be true. We're talking about edi halacha that he simply told them to bring the get. So then the halacha is different. Hachidam Mustafa says the Gemara, and I'll prove to you that that is the case, that we missed the boat. We misunderstood what the Torah were talking about. The Tani Seif, it says at the end of the Braisa, what if I spoke to each one separately originally? Up and down we've been talking about, I said to a group of people, to two, to ten, to five, whatever it was, I spoke to them as a unit together. So now we're discussing, do I have to cancel them together or can I cancel them separately? But now the Braisa says, what if I called Reuven at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I called Shimon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I called Levi at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? So once I treated each one separately, then each one on their own, the same way I appointed them separately, I can be mevatel them separately. So says the Gemara, that scenario, that kind of a setup of appointing edim in separate times, does that work or not? Says the Gemara, depends. Iyam is bishlam edi halacha shapir. If we're talking about the get was already written and signed, and I'm just deciding who's going to deliver the get, I can do whatever I want. I want to make three different people as possible shlichim for the get. I can make one on Sunday, one on Monday, one on Tuesday. But Eliyam has made the ksiva. But if I'm appointing people to write the get, which means I need to write it to sign the get, so mimit starfei, it's not going to work because when I ask Edom to sign the get, that's like an Edos. So when Edom sees something, they have to see it together, don't they? Doesn't the halacha require that if Reuven and Shimon come to Bezin and say, we saw this murder, that means we were there together. We saw Reuven break Shimon's window, so they were there together. So whenever you have an Eidus, so doesn't an Eidus presuppose that the Eidim are witnessing the event together? So the Moshe at a wedding. So Reuven will be Mekadesh Rachel in front of one Eid, and then an hour later he'll be Mekadesh in front of another Eid. That's not going to work. The Eidim are Pishnai V'Eidim Yochum Dover. So Hamamar, Eini Dus Mitztaref Ezat Yushtem Ki Echon. So whenever you have an Eidus, so the two have to see together. So obviously this Bryce is not talking about a classic testifying of writing and signing again. Says the Gemara, no, Dilma Kribishu Ben Korchas Firulei. Maybe this Bryce actually holds like that one Tana tucked away in Masechah Sanhedrin that says that you actually can have Edom see things at separate times. So according to Bishu Ben Korcha, the Edom usually
together.
That's goof a part of this discussion. Whenever you have an Eidus, does an Eidus presuppose that the Eidim saw the broken window at the same time? Or can I say that Reuven will come and say, listen, I saw somebody break the window at 9 o'clock in the morning. And another guy's going to come and say, listen, I saw the same guy break the window. It's not a question of arguing at different times. There are two different maisim, so we're not arguing with each other. I'm saying I wasn't together with you. Reuven and Shimon say we weren't there at the same time, but I'm telling you that I saw an Eidus and he saw an Eidus. So do we have a right to, if the Eidim are contradicting each other and they say that, no, we were there together at the same time, and then we ask each Eid and say, oh, by the way, what time were you there? He says 8 o'clock, he says 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's a chosh, and then there's something fishy going on. But can you have a situation where you can have two Eidim that almost like combine their different ears? So if you hold it, you can. So then you can have such a shaliach set up that Reuven appoints Shimon to sign the get as one person. Then he appoints another guy to sign the get, another guy to sign the get. So when all the dust settles, we still are not sure about these issues that have been flying around in our sugya. There are really two different issues flying around. One issue was a throwback to last week. There was a machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, the father and the son, about the following. We know that min haTorah you can cancel one shliach without even telling him. You don't have to tell him anything. With the Raisa, you can go to a Beis Din and just revoke the entire shlichus and shine. But Rebbe Gamliel has zokeh. The older Rebbe Gamliel said, don't do that. Terrible, terrible idea. What if you went ahead and you did it? You violated that halacha. So then we had a machlokes, Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel last week. But the eved is the shlichus b'teila or not? So Rebbe said that, yeah, if lemaisa you cancel the shlichus, you did a terrible aveira and it's a terrible mikshol and you're going to cause the woman to get messed up. You did a terrible thing. But tachlis, you revoked the shlichus. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. That even b'di'eved, the shlichus is going to be acceptable because once the Chacham said not to revoke it, you cannot do it. Chazal Masaka, you can't cancel shlichus if it's going to mess the woman up. That was one issue. Then we had a second issue, Machlekes Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel. Not related. I mean, the same sugya, but not dependent one or the other. The second question was, what's the din if you have multiple shlichim? Can I be mevata one without telling the other? Is that a problem or not? So how does all of this play out in Elamaisa? So I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Shabbos b'nei de Rabbi Abba. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, I heard from Rabbi Abba Tarte. Two psak halachas about this topic. Chadek k'Rebbi, chadek k'Rebbi Shimon Gamliel. In one of the cases, we follow the view of Rebbe. In the other case, we follow the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. One small technical problem. I don't remember which one he said. So yeah, they're two different topics. One is, I violated the takana of Rabbi Gamliel. I was mavata my shaliach, shalei b'fnei shaliach. I did a terrible, terrible thing. Tachlis, is the shaliach good or no good? So according to one Tana, he's no good because I was mavatlim, shalek you did. And the other Tana says no, that chazal v'saka, that the shlichus remains intact. Then there's a totally separate issue. When I have multiple shlichim, is there anything to be concerned with if I'm mavata one without telling him? So without telling the other one. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yosef Nechsei Anan. So we know that we follow the halacha Rebbe in one and Rav Shimon Gamliel in the other. We're not sure which one. Rav Yosef said, let's do our homework. Let's go through the sugya ourselves to figure out what is the final halacha. So the Chiyosar of Dimi Amar. Ma'isev Ha'asar Rebbe Kedivei Chachamim. There's a sugya Maseches Ksubis that one time Rabbi Dan Nosi, Rebbe, he's the one who's arguing here, once followed the view of the Chachamim in what seems to be a totally unrelated shaila. So sugya tucked away in the end of Maseches Ksubis as follows, that Beis Din is brought in to help divide up property, particularly in case of Yesomim. We'll see this as we go on, that if a person passes away, so now there are children, we have to figure out who gets the Yerusha. So the children are under bar mitzvah, they're not going to be able to handle the monetary issues themselves. So Beis Din steps up to the plate, appoints we call an apotropos, and he's basically in charge of trying to make sure everything is done properly. And he's going to control the nechasim. He's going to invest for them, he's going to buy for them, he's going to sell for them, he's going to try to take care of all this stuff until they turn bar mitzvah, they're able to do it on their own. The problem is that sometimes the guy, to be mistook a guy, he may make a bad investment. He may sell something for them that he probably shouldn't have. Maybe he'll make a mistake even. And now they'll make a mistake in terms of evaluating how much the property was worth. So you have a situation where the Beis Din is doing things out of the goodness of the heart. But Lamais, they made a mistake. And now the question is, what do we do at that point? So do we say that anything and everything that was sold under the Beis Din's auspices is going to be put under the microscope? And if it turns out that there was some kind of a mistake that was made, we're going to cancel it, revoke it, and start all over again? Or do I say, no, that Beis Din has a certain koch to them. that Bezin, they're trying to do the right thing. So we apply the principle called Makleich Bezin Yofa. Namely, you can't just, anything and everything Bezin does, you can't just start being Mavatal different Bezin, just it's the undermine the entire system. So is there this, almost like this new superimposed halacha called Makleich Bezin Yofa? That when Bezin does things within reason, we're going to have to uphold the Psak of the Bezin, because just simply to keep the authority of the Bezin in place. So is that a concern in halacha or not? So this shaila appears in many, many different places. It appears in the case in Ksubis, about where the Bezin made a little bit of a monetary error. It also appears in Asugya, because if you remember back to last week, when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that we have to uphold this psak of Rabbi Gamliel, that we can't let people just be mevatel getting just like that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel used the same phrase, imkein makrech Bezin yafeh. So what prompted Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to say that we're going to declare that even though the guy was mevatel the shlichus, we are saying he didn't. We're going to say that to uphold the authority of the psak of the Beis Din, we're going to keep it going, even though, technically speaking, it really doesn't have any more authority. So the Gemara is assuming that these two sugyas are linked, at least at this point. That if you hold that we uphold the authority of the Beis Din in Dinei Mamonos, then we're going to uphold the Nuchus Gittin as well. So comes the Gemara now with that background and says there was once a story that Rebbe followed the view of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim were the ones who said that if the Beis Din made a mistake, so throw them out and start over again. So after that happened, that Rebbe was mevatel the Koach of Beis Din, Amar l'fan of Rabbi Parta. So Rabbi Parta said to Rebbe, and who was Rabbi Parta? Rabbi Parta was Beno Shu Rabbi Elazar ben Parta. He was the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, not a great surprise, he was named after his grandfather, Ben Beno Shel Rabbi Parta Godel. He was the great-great-grandson of Rabbi Parta, the great Rabbi Parta. So even in those days, they kept names in the family for generations. It's not shocking that in the family of Hillel, so it was basically Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, pretty much, you know, like many families have, that kind of generation. So bottom line is Rabbi Parta turned to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and said, Imkei Makach Beitzin Yofeh. If you're going to start to cancel, Beis Din makes takonos, and then you throw it out the window, so that's going to demean, that's going to detract from the authority of the Beis Din. The Chazer Rebbe, the Asak Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi backed out from his psak, and he followed the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, his father, who said that you have to uphold the authority of the Beis Din, even if the Beis Din did something that was, again, a little bit off. It was a terrible, terrible mistake. The Mamash cheated the Yisroel, that's a different story. But I'm saying, you're talking about they made an honest, little, small mistake in terms of business dealings. It's important to keep the authority of the Beis Din intact. So says the Gemara, since Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi himself now adopts that view of Makreb Beis Din Yofa, will be the Hakar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hakar Rabbi. It must be that we know that the halacha is like one case of Shimon Gamliel and one like Rabbi. So it must be that when it comes to b'diavad canceling the shlichus, we're going to follow the view that ma koach Beis Din Yofa. We're not going to let you, if b'diavad, cancel the shlichus to uphold the authority of the Beis Din. When it comes to, are you allowed to be mevatel zeh shelo b'fnei zeh? So maybe Rabbi is right. Maybe you're not allowed to. Again, depending on Rebbe said, the Rebbe said that Yochlevatlam, so maybe we should follow the view of Rebbe. The Yochlevatl Zeshlam Fnezah. So comes the Gemara and says that approach to this sugya, that in one case we're going to follow Rebbe, in one case we're Shimon Gamliel, that was taken by somebody else as well. But from Yosha to Ben Usha, even Rabbi Osha from Usha. Usha was where the base that Agolda, where the Sanhedrin went to after the base of Usha was destroyed. So after they went to Yavda, then eventually they went to Usha. So in Usha, Rabbi Yoshia paskin the following. So v'chadik Rabbi v'chadik Shimon Gamliel. That we're going to split this psak, and the following case actually occurred. The Amar Rabbi Rechana, Chamisha Sabi Havina and Kamei Rabbi Yoshia Devin Usha. Rabbi Rechana, he was a Talmud already of Rabbi Yochanan. So we're talking about the early Amoraim. And he came to Eretz Yisrael to study in by Rabbi Yochanan. And at that point, the Beis Din was still in that area of Usha. So Rabbi Chana relates to us that we were five older Tamidim, Chamisha Sabi, we were five Tamidim, older Tamidim in front of Rabbi Yoshia to bin Usha. Asa Gavra Kameh. There was a person who came in front of Rabbi Yoshia. He was summoned by the Beis Din to give a get to his wife. The Ashkelah Gita Al Korche. And we compelled him to give a get. Now we know the halacha is that you can't literally force a person to give a get. It has to be written b'rtzono. But if the halacha is that the person is really obligated to give, the Beis Din comes to the conclusion, this fellow must give a get to his wife. So there are ways for them to make it worth his while to give a get to his wife. We call kofet asot shum barotzani, that we can force him to give a get. We will get him to the point where he agrees that he's willing to give, under the duress, he's willing to give the get. Now, this is a very, very tricky area of halacha. The whole sugya is in Maseches Gittin, Maseches Subis, because this is only if the Beis Din is allowed to do this, and only if the circumstances justify that he'd be forced to give a get. If the Beis Din oversteps the bounds in this area, and they start to force people right and left to give get that they're not really required to give, then the whole get may be bat l'mutl, the whole get, so we call it get ma'usa. So it's a very, very serious area of halacha. Obviously, we live in a non-Jewish society, so some of the authority of the Beis Din and some of the tools that the Beis Din would sometimes have in the past obviously are not going to be able to be put into practice, b'zman hazeh. So that's unfortunately what creates some of the problems that we have today. So very often you have a person who the halacha is quite clear, is absolutely required by the halacha to give a get. So if we lived in a time when Beis Din had complete control, we would have a significantly less of an aguna issue, that the Beis Din would take care of making sure that the person it's well worth his while to give a get. Unfortunately, we are bound by certain limitations of living in a society the Beis Din does not have full authority. So the bottom line is Rabbi Yoshia was convinced that this fellow has to give a get, and they basically made him give a get. So they got the get from him. But then Rabbi Yoshua was afraid that this guy is going to be a troublemaker. They finally coerced him to give a get. What did he do? So he said, yeah, no problem. Okay, you guys go ride a get, go deliver a get to my wife. And then the minute that he gets out of Beis Din, he's going to go run and be mevatel to get. The guy's going to outsmart Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua said, Amalon, and he said to us, Zilu Atmaru the Kasvala. He said, you guys who were just appointed to ride a get, go into hiding, go disappear somewhere where he won't be able to find you, so he won't be able to be mevatel to get. So the isak adanika Rebbe, if you say that we follow the psak of Rebbe, that b'di'evet, if a guy is mevatel to get, even shlomo b'nei ha-shaliach, the get is batel, ki mitra mehav, how's that going to solve the problem? The goal of Rabbi Yoshia was to get the shlichim to put him in a safe house. No, the guy won't be able to get in, he'll be able to write the get and deliver it in shalom. It's not going to help. According to Rebbe, he'll be mevatel again. He won't tell them. So I bid the effort to get will be mevatel. El shmamina, you see, for me, a k'rishu b'gam liyos for like that we pass in the halacha like k'rishu b'gam liyo, that once Chazal made the takana that you can't be mevatel again without telling the shliach, so that even bid the effort, if you try to do that stunt, it's not going to work. So the isak adait that either chenami k'rishu b'gam liyo. And if you hold that we totally paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, lamlu atmure, livduru ivdure. So why did he have to tell him to go into hiding? He should have told the shlichim just to separate. Make sure you're never together for the next few hours, because according to Rav Shimon Gamliel's second statement, you can't be mevatel get unless it's in front of all of them. So the bottom line is that you see that Rabbi Yoshia held in one case like Rav Shimon Gamliel, in one case, they grab you. So we paskin la halacha that you, at least at this point, you can't be mevatel to get the imbidi yavid, but it may not necessarily be true that they have to all be there at the same time. So comes the Gemara continues for Rav Amar Rav Nachman halacha k'rabbi b'shneyan, that we paskin like Rebbe in both cases, and this could potentially cause trouble for us, because if we've paskin like Rebbe, so then if a guy went ahead and was mevatel to get without telling the shliach, it was a terrible thing, and he violated Rabbi Gamliel Zochet Takana, and we're yelling and screaming from today to tomorrow, but at the end of the day, he gets batel. So that's what Rabbi says, that's the final halacha. So he asks the Gemara, really? The leisle the Rav Nachman, makach bezid yofeh? Is it really true that Rav Nachman kind of ignored the authority of Beis Din? Rav Nachman said that we paskin, that we don't say Makoach Beis Din Yofeh. Vam Rav Nachman HaMashmuel, going back to the case of the Yisomim and the estates, on the top of Lamed Aleph, if Yisomim Shmuel Lachem Rechsei Avien, when you have a situation where the Yisomim are coming to divide up the property of the father, Beis Din Mamidlan Apotropis, Beis Din appoints an apotropis, they appoint a court guardian to take care of the property, Ubor Lehen Chelig Yofeh, and they try to divide up the property in the best way, and they'll deal, there's a little bit of business dealings for them. What if when the children get older, they say, no, you guys, the Beis Din didn't do a good job. I wanted that part of the property. And the other guy says, I wanted this part of the estate, and they're yelling and screaming. So do we say that they have a right to overturn the work of the Beis Din's apotropis? So the Gemara says, yeah, he did yicham limchos. For Rav Nachman, the day of it, but Rav Nachman himself held, he did ain yicham limchos. The imkain makar beis in yofel. Rav Nachman said, you can't do that. We must uphold the authority of the Beis Din, and they have no right to cancel, can't change their minds 5 years later. So the Gemara saw this as a contradiction to what we said before. That in the realm of Dini Mominers, we're going to put the Beis Din up on a pedestal, we're going to say, if Beis Din said it, so those words are binding no matter what the person's yelling and screaming. Whereas when it comes to Gittin, so Beis Din said, no bittul get, the guy says, thank you very much, sticks his tongue out to the Beis Din, says, I'm doing whatever I'm doing anyway, so don't bother me, leave me alone. So this is a fundamental question, even though they're very, very different areas of halacha. The Gemara thinks that they're really fundamentally the same question, just how much the Beis Din has authority here. So in the case of the Dini Mamonis, so Rav Nachman is upholding the Beis Din to the last degree. And when it comes to Gittin, Rav Nachman is saying, you want to argue in the Beis Din, you want to finagle, you want to pull stunt, do whatever you want. So how can there be such a discrepancy? Says the Gemara, it's a big difference. In the realm of Mominus, so we always have the rule called Hefke Beis and Hefke to fall back on. We've seen this many times, back in the first barak, that Hefke Beis and Hefke means that in the realm of the Mominus, the Beis can make whatever takanas they see fit to betterment of society, and those takanas are binding. So it's for the best interest of society that when Beis Din comes in and divides up property of Yisraelim, that 20 minutes from now, they're not going to change their minds. That in 10 years from now, we're not going to undo all the business deals that we did for the last 10 years. It's not going to work. It's not going to fly. So in order to uphold the authority of the Beis Din, again, we're appointing honest people. We're appointing, the Beis Din has their eyes on top of it. We're looking out for the best interest of the Yisraelim. If somebody makes a little bit of a goof here and there, we're going to overlook it. It's better for the system to work properly rather than every 10 minutes changing what the Beis Din said. So in the realm of Mominus, we have the right to do so. In the realm of Yisur, the realm of Gittin, at the end of the day, the husband was mevatel the get. So you can yell and scream, he did a terrible thing, and he's a Rosh, he's a Marusha, he's a maneuver, we'll throw up the chayim, we'll give him an aliyah. But tachas, he was mevatel the get. At the end of the day, he's mevatel the get, and the get is not chal min haTorah. So we're not going to be able to sanction a get, that's not good mid-araisa, just in order to uphold the quote-unquote authority of the Beis Din. So the Gemara is now going to switch over to a little bit of a related topic, but other kinds of strange scenarios where a guy starts the ball rolling, he appoints someone to write a get for him, and then he begins to backpedal. Did he really change his mind? Did he not change his mind? So the Gemara is now going to segue into a whole other aspect, and then eventually circle back to different scenarios of bittul haget. So the person authorized the writing of the get, he authorized the delivery of the get, but it hasn't quite been completed, and now he all of a sudden Baruch Hu decides that he may want to be mevatel it. So what do we do with that information? Next time we'll continue this. When is this question? It's Thursday. Okay, so keep the appropriate timing. Okay. Okay, have a good day, everyone.